Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I brought a volleyball with me this morning. As a tie into last Sunday's sermon with Pastor Mark, how much this volleyball costs? Now, this one's kind of old and beat up. It was the only one I could find. But if you were to go down the street to Mid Rivers Mall to Dick's or down the street the other way to Walmart, how much would a new volleyball cost? Any guesses? $5, $10, I had to look it up. I haven't bought a volleyball in a long time, obviously. Now, how much would this volleyball be worth to you? My guess is that for most of us, this volleyball, which costs $5 or $10 new, wouldn't be worth a whole lot more than what it cost. But if you remember from last week's sermon with Pastor Mark, to the right person at the right place in the right time, this seemingly worthless volleyball could be priceless. So, something else. What about this? Smartphone. Now, obviously, depending on the make and the model, that's going to change the cost a little bit. But on average, what are one of these going to set you back? Right, a few $100, right? Now, what is a smartphone in your pocket worth to you? I'm willing to bet that your smartphone, your personal phone in your pocket or your purse, is worth quite a bit more to you. I mean, these things, they've become, in many ways, everything to us. They hold all of our contacts. They're our connection to the internet, to the wider world around us. In many ways, they contain a lot of our family photos, our videos. Gotta be fast, Steve. They contain so many things that are important to us, and we really, like so many things in our lives, we only really begin to realize their worth, their value to us when they're gone. If we lose them, if they stop working, if we forget them at home, it's then that we begin to realize just how much it's worth to us. Here, will you hold this for me? Thanks. So, this week and last week, kind of the underlying theme for both services and both sermons is this topic of stewardship. And just so that we're all on the same page, stewardship is defined as the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to your care. Once again, stewardship is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to your care. So last week, Pastor Mark talked about the stewardship of things, the stewardship, how we take care of the things that God has given us, just as Mr. Nelson talked about moments ago. And we had prepared by our stewardship team a handout in your bulletins, and we stuck it in there again for this week in case you weren't here last week, a page diagram that illustrates how collectively we as a family of God are stewards of the things that God has given to us as a family of God here at Chapel of the Cross. How we're good stewards of this building, of the budget, of the individual time, talents, and treasures of our body of Christ, our members here, and how we've used those to impact in a positive way our community and the world with the message, the good news of Jesus Christ. So today we're continuing that theme, but we're going to be talking about stewardship of something a little different, stewardship of something that you may not even have considered being a steward of before. We're talking about stewardship of the body. And whenever we talk about stewardship, it can be kind of a tricky topic because it involves By nature, our views of ownership and the things that we consider ours. We tend to balk at the idea that anyone could have a claim to these things that we call our own. You know, one of the first words that we learn after we get those cute ones now, like mommy and daddy, is mine. It's that word that we hear over and over again. We were out to dinner last night, and Gabby started saying mine to one of her things as well. And I found this a couple years ago, but I thought it was really a good description of the problems that are inherent with ownership. It's the toddler's rules of ownership, if you've heard these before. There are 10 of them. Number one, if I want it, it's mine. Number two, if it's in my hand, it's mine. Number three, if I can take it away from you, it's mine. Number four, if I had it a while ago and put it down, it's mine. Number five, if it's mine, it must never appear to be yours in any way. Number six, if we're building something together, all the pieces are mine. Seven, if it just looks like mine, it's mine. Number eight, if I think it's mine, it's mine. Number nine, if I give it to you and change my mind later, it's mine. And number 10, once it's mine, it will never belong to anyone else, no matter what. Now we can hear that and chuckle, especially as we're remembering kids, our grandkids, or just remembering the last time we saw some toddlers playing together on the playground. We chuckle at these rules of ownership and how we deal with this word mine. But the reality is, I don't know that as adults we ever really grow out of this. I think what happens is we become more sophisticated in how we talk about the things that are ours. I think as adults we become a lot better at putting on a show of sharing the things that we really think are ours. But I don't know that this ever really changes. And where it gets really tricky is when we begin to talk about stewardship of the body and what that means. And to be honest, I don't have an easy way to ease into this, and so I'm just going to say it and then I'll try to pick up the pieces. Your body is not your own. You don't own your body. You don't have the final say over what happens or you do with your body. You are a steward of your body in the same way that you are a steward of all of the other good gifts that God gives you. And I say all that knowing that for you listening, that very probably is a jarring thing to hear. It's odd even for me to say because it runs so counter to everything that we hear in the wider world around us. We live in a culture and at a time where if nothing else is sacred, my body is. We live at a time when we believe and we're taught that my body is my own to do whatever I want with it. It's epitomized by this slogan, this saying, my body, my choice. You hear that slogan most often paired when it's the topic of abortion comes up. My body, my choice. And the idea behind that is simple. No one can tell anyone, especially no man can tell a woman what she can or can't do with her body. But that slogan, that saying, my body, my choice, it goes much further beyond just that one issue. That idea that it's my body and my choice to do with whatever I please, that is at the heart, it underlies so much of our sin and rebellion before God. I mean, take this very basic notion, what is a man or a woman? How do you define gender? Well, God has a very clear definition. In the beginning, he made them male and female, period. Biology, science, gives us a very specific definition for what constitutes a man and what constitutes a woman. But we live in the midst of a time where that is a question that isn't easily answered by everyone. I mean, if you go down the street to Lindenwood or down the street the other way to St. Charles Community College and you start asking people that you meet there on campus, how would you define a man or a woman? You'll begin very quickly to get some interesting answers. And at some point, you'll hear this answer that is put forth today, that a man is a man so long as he thinks he's a man. But if he believes he's a woman, then he's a woman. A woman is a woman so long as she thinks she's a woman. But if she believes she's a man, then she's a man. And what underlies that belief, that idea, is this notion that it's my body and it's my choice and no one can tell me what I can or can't do with my body. And you hear echoes of that my body, my choice mentality. You hear echoes of that all over the place, but it simply isn't true. And it is especially not true for you and for me, those of us who bear the name of Jesus Christ. Paul says very clearly, your body is not your own. You were bought with a price. And that line from Paul in 1 Corinthians, your body is not your own. It was bought with a price. That deals a hammer blow to our popular notion that we have control over our own bodies, that we have the final say over what we do with our bodies. So the truth is, you've been bought. When God bought you from the slave market of sin, He wasn't just buying you so He could do a few minor repairs and then send you off on your way to live your life as you please. He was purchasing you. You are His. No ifs, ands, or buts. You are His, period. And I believe that statement from Paul to the Corinthians in his first letter, I believe that would have been just as shocking for them to hear as it probably is for us. Your body is not your own. You were bought with a price. And because of that, he followed that idea up that your body is not your own with his reason why. It's that notion that you were bought with a price. And as you hear that line, it seems kind of odd that he would say it that way. I mean, why not just say, you're not your own, you were bought, so glorify God with your body. Why does he go on to say, to reiterate, you were bought with a price? I mean, think about it. Were the Corinthians so economically challenged that they didn't understand that there was a natural connection between purchasing something and a price that had to be paid? I don't believe so. I believe Paul very purposefully wrote this line, you were bought with a price, because he wanted the Corinthians to remember, and he was reminding them and us about the cross, about Jesus Christ, and about the price that he paid for you. So what he was saying to them is, you were bought, and don't forget how much it cost God to rescue you from sin and death and slavery. So if God is saying, I purchased you, and don't forget what it cost me. We look up on that cross, and when Jesus was hanging there from the cross, he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And consider that again for the first and the last time in the history of time and eternity. The very Son of God was forsaken by his Father. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The answer is written here in 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, you are not your own, you were bought with a price. Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, was forsaken so that you might not be. Beginning of the message, I talked about that difference between cost and worth. It cost God everything to buy you back. And your worth to Him is priceless. This is God has done for you and for me. In the history of time, from the beginning to now, there have been countless things that have been bought and sold and bartered for. But there was never a purchase like this purchase. There's never been a price that was paid like this price. And so, if you're looking for the motivation to devote yourself again to God this morning, it's there at the cross. If you're looking for forgiveness this morning because you're sitting there realizing that you haven't been a good steward over time of the body that God has given you, and I think we all fail at that, the assurance of your forgiveness is there at the cross. If you're looking for strength this morning, whether it's strength to endure or to parent or whatever, the gospel strength is there found at the cross. Stewardship, again, is the careful and responsible management of something that has been entrusted to your care. And so when it comes to the stewardship of our bodies, we don't take our cues from the larger world around us. We take our cues from God, who says that your body is not your own. You were bought with a price. So it isn't your choice whether to keep the child that God has given you or not. It isn't your choice to decide whether you are a man or a woman. It isn't your choice to decide that you can go home at night with whoever strikes your fancy. Your very body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you at the moment of your baptism. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. I'll take that back. Thanks for taking care of it for me. In Jesus' name, amen.